Welcome to Bible Baptist Church of Selah, Washington. This is Aaron Pauley saying, stay tuned for 15 minutes of encouragement from God's Holy Word, from Pastor Charles Bonner. So if you have a chance, we would like you to take your Bible and join us as we listen. And here is Pastor Bonner.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for tuning into our program today. I want to take just a minute to invite you out to Bible Baptist Church of Selah. We're located at the corner of Selah, Loop, and Tibling Road in Selah, Washington. Our address is 20 Tibling Road. We're about 2.5 miles past Selah High School out on Selah Loop Road. Sunday morning, our Bible class for adults and Sunday school for kids is 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. Wednesday night, Bible study and so on is at 7 p.m. During mid-September to mid-May, we have a King's Kids program. We have a lot of preschool kids, grade school kids, and teenagers, plus an adult Bible class. And we study a lot of interesting things, a lot of good subjects and topics from the Bible. We get in-depth into Bible studies. We sing the old-time hymns, and we use the King James Bible. So we'd like to invite you out. And if you're looking for a church that sings good old-time hymns, you come on out and be with us at Bible Baptist Church of Selah, Washington. Also, this coming March 12th and 13th is our annual soul-winning conference. We have some great preachers. Brother Larry Clayton, the evangelist, he's originally from Ohio. He's been preaching for 60 years. We have Rick Adams from Portland, Oregon. Franklin Umber from Somerville, Oregon. Pastor Greg Boyle from Spokane, Washington. Pastor Marshall Warnicki from Bible Baptist Church, Salt Lake City, and a couple of others. It's Monday night, March the 12th, and Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., and Tuesday night, 7 p.m., March the 13th. And so at 7 o'clock nightly, great music and great old hymns and great special music. I want to invite you out. I want to invite your attention to the Word of God today, something very, very dear to my heart as we look into the Scriptures. You know, the Bible said that when we're saved, God saves us for all eternity. There are a lot of religions out there that believe that you can be saved and lose your salvation. We do not find that in the Bible. But I want to go through a few brief things today. But if you could lose your salvation, you would have to declare God's grace is insufficient. The Bible says that when we're saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many people think that their good works will get them to heaven. I'm saved, but I have to do good works to keep it or maintain salvation. That is totally false. That's a lie of the devil. It's not found in Scripture. We have God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That is grace. Water baptism, church membership, church confirmation, loving your neighbor, and even keeping of the Ten Commandments. None of those things can give you or anyone else a place in heaven. They cannot save your soul. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 states, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, my friends, since good works can't do anything to earn you salvation, then evil works can do nothing to remove your salvation. We're not saved by works. We're saved by putting our faith and trust in the grace of God. The Bible said God's grace is sufficient for us. So if you could lose your salvation, you would have to declare God's grace as being insufficient. Then something else we want to look at here, that if you could lose your salvation, you'd have to get Jesus Christ to take back his righteousness. When Christ died on the cross, he took upon ourself his sins, and he paid for them in full. The book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, for he, that's God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, did not sin, could not sin. Now, God the Father made God the Son, which is Jesus Christ. He's the one who knew no sin. God made Jesus to be sin for us. That is, Christ took your sins upon himself when he died on the cross of Calvary so that you could take his righteousness upon yourself when you accept him as Savior. When you're saved, you are clothed in his righteousness, and we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. My friends, when God the Father sees you, He sees through the blood of His Son. Therefore, you will never have to stand before God in your own righteousness. You are truly complete in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us we are complete in Him. Now, this also means you can't become lost by losing your own righteousness. Listen, your own righteousness, the Bible said in Isaiah, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 that I mentioned a while ago says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, let's go over for a moment to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Here the Bible tells us, "And being found in Him," that's Christ, "not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, my friends, when we're saved, we receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not our righteousness, it's not our good works that save us. Something else that I want to share with you, if you could lose your salvation, not only would you have to declare God's grace is insufficient, but you'd have to get Christ to take back His righteousness, but you'd have to have the pardon removed from your sin. You see, you have something very special when you accept Jesus Christ. You have a pardon for your sin that's greater than the pardon any criminal ever received from any governor or president. This pardon is based on none other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 declares, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." My friends, when you're quickened, and that word quickened means made alive, when you're quickened, made alive together with Christ, you're forgiven of all sins, all trespasses. Not just some of them, not just most of them, but all of them. That's why the forgiveness which saved us is a complete act of the past and not a repeated act of the present. It's forgiveness. It's a completed act. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Notice this, "even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." My friends, we are to be forgiving. That's present tense. We're to forgive others as God hath forgiven, past tense. He has forgiven us. Not as He forgives, present tense, but He hath forgiven us, past tense. God forgave all of your sins at salvation, past, present, and future. Therefore, there's no need for a continual forgiving of sins in order to go to heaven. Does it remove the need to repent of sins committed after salvation? But asking for forgiveness of sins after you're saved, the Bible teaches, is a daily cleansing of sins to keep us in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to continually have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and so that we don't rob ourselves of answered prayer and blessings. But since you receive a full pardon at salvation, you can't be lost by committing unpardoned sins. A born-again believer cannot commit the unpardonable sin. There can be no such thing for a saved person as committing the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin, in essence, is rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will sin as a Christian. We can displease God after salvation. God knew when He saved you that we are human. We have a free will. He knew what you would do, and He forgave you of those sins in regard to where you will spend eternity. The only way out is to have the pardon which you received at salvation removed from your sins. You know what? Jesus Christ said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We're going to talk about some of these others maybe in the next week. But this is so important. There's a lot of religions out there that believe you can get saved and lose it, and it's kind of like bouncing back and forth with it like a ping pong ball or a pinball machine. Listen, when God saved us, He saves us completely. One last scripture I want to go to on this is the Gospel of John, and I want to go to chapter 10. I want to go to verse 27 to 30. John 10, Jesus said He's the good shepherd, and that believers, Christians, were the sheep. He said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." He said, "And I give unto them eternal life." Give, present tense, okay? "And they shall never perish," meaning you'll never go to hell, "neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands." My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. If you're sitting there saying, but preacher, I can pluck myself out of God's hands. No, the Bible said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. God is greater than you. He's greater than me. He's greater than the old devil. And no man, not even you yourself, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. My friends, we have a great Savior, and He offers a great salvation. And if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you trust in Him today? Would you right where you're at, unless you're driving your car, bow your head and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul? Would you do that today? And if you're saved and you've been not living for Christ as you should, I plead with you to repent of those sins and get back on track and serve the Lord. But if you'll pray a prayer believing in Christ and asking Him to save you and forgive you of your sins, my friends, you only have to do that one time. You can only get saved one time, and you can never lose God's salvation that He offers to you. Write to us, if you would please, at P.O. Box 1089, Selah, Washington, 98942. That's Post Office Box 1089, Selah, Washington, 98942. And then give us a call at 509-697-8895. That's 509-697-8895. We'd love to hear from you. Come on out and visit Bible Baptist Church of Selah, Washington. Remember our annual soul-winning conference, our 17th annual one or 18th, whichever. But it's March the 12th at 7 o'clock in the evening. Tuesday, March the 13th at 9 a.m. and again at 7 o'clock in the evening. So that's Monday and Tuesday, March 12th and 13th. We'll be looking for you. Till next week, Pastor Bonner saying goodbye. Have a great week in the Lord Jesus Christ.